Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
Amen. If you have your copy of God's Word, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to be looking specifically at verses 11 through 13. 11 through 13. Man, what a beautiful song. We lay everything down at the foot of the cross, you know, and we remember the sacrifice of Jesus and what He did. And today we're going to be talking about how we should bear one another's burdens, we should bear with one another, and how we should forgive one another and praise the Lord, right? Praise the Lord that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross to bear our sins and to give us forgiveness. And so today as we come to Colossians and we see that we should live by bearing with one another and forgiving one another, it's direct pictures of what Jesus has already done for us. And so let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, as we come to You once again this morning, God, I pray that as we come to the preaching of Your Word, to the hearing of Your Word preached, Lord, God, I pray that You will just speak through me this morning, Lord, that I'm just a vessel for Your kingdom, a mouthpiece for You, Lord, that I preach nothing but Your Word and Your Word alone and Your truth alone, God. God, I pray that we rid ourselves of all distractions so we can hear, understand, and believe and know what Your Word is teaching us, Lord. How we should seek to live in one another fellowship by bearing the burdens of one another and forgiving one another. God, we thank You so much for Jesus and the blood that He shed for us, Lord. How He has already bore our sins on Himself on that cross, Lord. How through Jesus You have forgiven us, Lord. May we reflect that in our very own lives with each other. Y'all, we pray all this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Kerr, begin. I just want to say we're going to begin Colossians chapter 3, verses 11 through 13, and if you have your copy of God's Word, turn with me there. If you don't, there's a Bible in the pew. Feel free to grab that Bible, look at it, follow along there. And I just want to encourage you, while yes, we do have the verses up on the screens here, I want to encourage you to continue to look at your Bible. Don't just become reliant on the screens. I just want to encourage you to look at your Bible. I think it's important for us to open our Bibles up to hear the pages turning, to look directly and read along in our Bibles. And so I just encourage you to do that. My purpose today in preaching from Colossians chapter 3, verses 11 through 13, is that we will live together in one another fellowship with bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And these two things are things in which we must do. As a matter of fact, every single one another that we have discussed up to this point, we must do. We must do good to one another. We must love one another. And today we must bear with one another and we must forgive one another. And in future weeks, when we think about how we should pray then for one another and how we should confess sin to one another, we must do those things. So often I think we say we should do it. And I caught myself even this week in writing this sermon and coming up with kind of an outline. I would say something like, I should do this or we should do this, right? We should live this way. And the reality is God doesn't call us to should do this. He calls us to must do this. This is something we must do. And so, I think to give us a better understanding of verses 11 through 13, I think we need to go all the way back to verses 1 and 2 of Colossians chapter 3. And so if you look there and you read there, you will see that we are told that if we have been raised with Christ, if we have believed in Jesus, we must seek the things that are above. We must set our mind on things above, on heavenly things. And then in verse 5, we're told to put to death that which is earthly: immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, idolatry, because these are things in which God will have His wrath upon people. And then we go to verse 8, and we see that we are to put away anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk, to not lie to one another. That's another one another's that we must live out, right? That we're to put off the old and put on the new self. Literally, take off these old, filthy, sin-covered clothes and put on these new, holy, and righteous clothes. We once walked in these new and old, or these old sinful ways. Now we should walk in these new, holy, and righteous ways. And that brings us to our passage, verse 11. And so look with me, read along with me in verse 11. And he says, "Here, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all." I'm going to pause here for a moment. Paul is pointing out these walls of separation amongst the church, amongst people of the church. These people were divided by who they were, divided by all these barriers across the people. But Paul says, there cannot be. This cannot be. If we are in Christ, if Christ is in all, then there are no barriers. You get that? You see what he's saying here? Verse, nothing. We are defined by Christ, not by race, not by our culture, not by our background, not by our age, not even by our politics. We are defined by Christ. None of that stuff should be a barrier. The point is that Christ is in us, and because Christ is in us, there's no barriers up. Christ is the center of it all. Man, isn't this a problem for us today? Our society does everything possible to put barriers between us, doesn't it? As Christians, as a church, we must do our best to tear those barriers down, because here's the reality. We can't live in one another fellowship if we have walls up. We can't bear the burdens of one another if we have barriers amongst us. We can't forgive one another if there's separation happening, division happening. We have to get rid of the walls and know that because Christ is in us, we are all have the one thing in common, and that's Jesus. Paul continues in verse 12. He says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." So Paul's here again. We saw the old clothes earlier in verse 5 and verse 7. And so now we're beginning to see these new clothes, the new self. As God's chosen, holy, and beloved people, we are to put on compassionate hearts, we're to put on kindness, we're to put on humility, we're to put on meekness, and we're to put on patience. I don't know if you picked up on this or not, but every single one of those things, you know what they are? They're relational. Did you notice that? They're all relational. These are things in how which we should treat one another, how we should relate to one another. The reality is we should be compassionate and kind to one another. We should be humble and meek toward one another, and we should be patient with one another, as we talked about last week. This is how we relate, church. And again, I've said it so many times for so much of my life. I know that I was taught that we are to do these things to those people out there, right? To people that have never believed, we are to live this way toward them. And I'm not saying that's not important, because it is very important. When we live that way to them, we show them Christ. But very little was I taught, and I'm only 30 years old, very little was I taught that we're to act like this with each other, even in the church. The reality is, we too, even in the church, need to see Jesus in each other. And we do that through relational things. Paul continues in verse 13, he says, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And so this is where we're going to spend the majority of our time here today. It's right here in verse 13, as we see these two ways in which Christians, in which the church, let me say it that way, the church must live with one another. And the first way that we see is that we must bear with one another. We must bear with one another. Again, we see this in verse 13. I'll put it up on the screen for you there so you can see it to have it to reference. And so now I think, what does it mean to bear with one another? What does the word bear mean? It's the question kind of at hand for us. What does it mean? What does bearing with one another mean? Now, the word bear is not a reference to the animal, is it? This is not a brown bear, this is not a black bear, this is not a polar bear, a koala bear, a panda bear. It's not the Coca-Cola bear. It's not any bear out there, okay? It's not talking about that. This is not a reference to bearing children either, right? This is not a reference to drive down the road and when you get to the red barn down there, bear a little bit to the left, okay? It's not that type of bear either. A few weeks ago in Hebrews, we talked about how we should bear the word of exhortation that was made to the Hebrew church, right? And how the word bear there meant how they should accept it as valid and true. Even this word bear here is not the same word. It's not the same connotation. The word bear, like the bearing of something, has several different meanings, as you can tell. So what is the author suggesting here? What is he saying? And so I think it's this mixture of idea of how we should carry the weight of another. You know, Jesus, whenever he bore the cross, he carried the cross, right? He was bearing the weight of the cross as he carried it to where he was going. It's not just physical weight though, right? I don't think he's talking about physical weight. I think he's talking about just the weight and the burdens of life. The weight of sin. And the idea of how we should endure with one another. You think about when you bear with someone, when you walk along someone through life, what are you doing? You are enduring it with them, right? You're enduring with that person. Another way to understand this word is putting up with. Yeah, you ever had to put up with someone? You know what you're doing with them? You're bearing with them, ain't you? You ever had to put up with a child trying to figure something out 15 times? And eventually they finally figured out. You had to bear with them until they learned, until they figured it out. So endure and carry. And I think this makes the most sense within the context of the passage. God's people are to put off the old self, put on the new self. They are to put off the old sinning ways, put on the new ways of holiness. And as we all know, our flesh doesn't want to do that, does it? Our flesh struggles to take off the old self. It fights against putting it off, taking off the old ways and putting on the new self. And so I believe that when we bear with one another, we are enduring with one another to help each other live holy. To help each other live holy. We are enduring their sinful flesh and helping them to live righteous. We are putting up with their sin at times and seeking to help them to live godly. I think Galatians chapter 1 or chapter 6 verses 1 through 2 will help us kind of understand this a little bit more. So in Galatians chapter 6 in verse 1 he says, "Brother, Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, if anyone is caught in any sin, you who are spiritual should restore him to a spirit, or restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. And then in verse 2, bear one another's burdens. So fulfill the law of Christ. It seems here in Galatians that this reference to burdens is a reference to sin. You look at verse 1, restore one another. Whenever they transgress, restore. What is a transgression? Transgression is sin, right? And then you get to the end of verse 2. What are we trying to fulfill? We're trying to fulfill what? The law of Christ. You restore them. You bear one another's burdens to help them fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ was to love God, to love others. Sin is when we don't do that. And if someone is caught in sin, we should restore them. If someone is caught in sin, we should bear with them. We should bear the burden of them struggling with that sin, helping them to fulfill the law, helping them to live righteous and holy. My goodness, sin is a burden, isn't it? Sin is heavy. And when you are constantly struggling with a specific sin, it's going to weigh on you, ain't it? Can become a burden to you. And God's Word calls us to be holy, so we as believers are to bear the weight by supporting each other. Putting up with them, enduring with them, bearing with them in such a way that it restores them to holiness. Restores them to godliness. We see something very similar in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Paul here is talking. He says, I, therefore, prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. And so we've all been called to be believers in Jesus Christ. We've all been called to live righteous and holy, right? Live holy as I am holy. And he goes on in verse 2, we should do this with all humility, with gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Eager, as verse 3 says, I went too far there. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And so Paul is calling us to walk in a manner worthy of what we have been called. We are to walk in holiness and righteousness and godliness, and we are to bear with one another in love. Church, we bear with one another to fight this battle against sin. Let me tell you, church, fighting against sin is a battle we are called to endure with one another. So often, I think you hear people say or talk about, you got to fight this battle, you got to fight this battle alone. In the church, according to God's Word, that's not how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to battle sin with each other. Because we need each other. We need help. If it was left up to us, remember, what does our flesh want to do? Our flesh wants to sin, right? But when we have brothers and sisters around us bearing this burden of fighting against sin, of battling against sin, there's more to help us to wage war against sin. And this person in which you are bearing with, they may have failed over and over and over again. They may struggle to understand the purpose of it, to get it, to understand what's happening. They may struggle to walk the life of being a believer. But you know what we got to do as Christians? Continue walking alongside of them, bearing with them. When they test our patience, we just have to keep on bearing. It's like a coach trying to coach a kid to be better at a sport, right? If you just give up on the kid, what's going to happen? It's going to be real bad. But if you keep coaching, you keep bearing with the kid, keep teaching him, keep training him, keep helping him, keep having patience with his mistakes that he's making, what's going to happen? The kid's eventually going to grow and be a better athlete, right? The same point with us as believers. When we continue to bear and endure and work with each other, we will continue to grow in holiness and righteousness as God has called us. Bearing with one another is work. We're called to do it, commanded to do it. Now, I've talked about how we bear with one another in relation to sin struggles, but I also believe that we bear one another when it comes to just life in general. Tragedies, right? Loss of a loved one. Marriages that are struggling. Parents struggling to parent. Depression, anxiety, any of those things that come upon you in life. Life is hard, ain't it? Everybody do this. Life is hard. It's not easy. And even in all those situations, we bear with one another. We endure one another. We support them. We carry the weight of their burdens. You ever tried to carry something really heavy? And then you ask someone to help you? What happens? It gets lighter, doesn't it? Now imagine if you had three or four people extra helping carry that. It gets even lighter, right? Imagine if you had a church of people carrying the same thing. What's going to happen? It's going to get even lighter. You can't bear with one another unless you know one another. And so this means something for us, right? If we're to bear one another's burdens, we must absolutely find ways in which we can get to know each other in the church. We must find ways in which we can hang out and spend time with each other. We can have conversations with each other. Go out to eat lunch with one another. Invite people to in the church to your house for dinner. Go bowling together if you like bowling. Go play pool together if you like playing pool. Go shopping together if you like going shopping. If you got a garden, I found out someone has a garden. If you have a garden, invite someone over to come and pick some beans and peas and okra or whatever else you got. And just hang out together. Go grocery shopping together. There's so many ways in which you can hang out together. Watch sporting events together, for crying out loud. It doesn't matter. Find ways in which you can be together with the people in this church more often so you can know them. So you can carry the burdens with them. Secondly, it means you must share your burdens. Whew. It means you must share your burdens. God wants us to share our burdens with others. That's hard, ain't it? The Christian life is not a life to be lived individually. It's a life to be lived in fellowship with others. And therefore, we must lay down our pride. We must lay down all of that, and we must desire holiness and righteousness more than the embarrassment, more than the shame that we find or we might feel. We must share our burdens with one another. This is hard. We've been taught since a very young age that when we are around other Christians, we must put on our what? Best behavior. I think the idea of wear your Sunday best has hurt the church in some ways. Because when you put on your Sunday best, what do you got to do? You got to put on your best clothes. You got to put on your best attitude. You got to put on your best face, right? You might have been arguing in the car when you pulled up. But the moment you walked in the door, what'd you do? You put on a fake smile, you put on a fake this, a fake attitude, all that thing, all that happens, right? Why? Because we've been told all our lives that we got to put on our best self when we go to church. When we're around other believers, we got to put on our best self. But how are we going to bear one another's burdens if we don't know? So God's Word calls us and teaches us that we need to share our burdens with others, and that means we have to tell them. If we're struggling with sin, talk to someone in the church. Say, hey, brother, hey, sister, I'm struggling with this. Will you help me? I'm struggling with depression. I'm struggling with anxiety. Will you help me? We have to be open. We have to be vulnerable with each other. Because the only way others can carry the burdens is if we talk to them. You often hear prayer requests. Now, I'm not saying anything wrong when I say this, but often prayer requests often include what? Health, right? Or something happened to so-and-so from way over yonder, and you pray for them. Or something else along those lines, right? Prayer requests are very, very rarely personal. We never say, hey, can you pray for me this week? I've been struggling with pride. Hey, can you pray for this week? I've been struggling with lust. Can you pray for this week? I've been struggling with greed. I've had an attitude of boastfulness and arrogance lately. Can you pray for me not to have that? I've had an attitude of whatever it is. You know, life's been hard here lately. I lost my job the other day. I'm struggling to make ends meet. Can you help me? Can you pray for me to figure it out? Do you see where I'm going with this? Prayer requests are meant to be personal. Part of me, there's many things. Or part of me, when I was kind of thinking about this, was like, in Sunday school, at least in Sunday school, we should make it to where, what's the burden? What's the burden we can pray for this week? And we just be open and honest and say, hey, look, I'm struggling with this. And church, I believe that if we are open and honest like that, we are going to grow spiritually. We will grow so much because we will be bearing the burdens of each other, growing in righteousness and holiness and godliness. So church, let's seek to live in one another fellowship by bearing with one another in sin struggles and struggles of life. Secondly, the second way that we live with one another, we must forgive one another. Again, we see this here in verse 13. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Last week, I spoke about this briefly when we talked about how we should not retaliate to others that do evil. That do evil to us, right? We shouldn't return evil with evil. We should seek to forgive them, right? Church, we live here on earth. We live here in our flesh. And this flesh is still prone to sin. And others in this church are probably, more than likely, going to sin against you. You're going to have a complaint against them. I promise you it's going to happen, right? Has anybody here, raise your hand if you've ever had a complaint against someone in the church. Yeah, just about every single one of us, right? I know some of y'all didn't raise your hand. You know, you might as well raise it. We've all had some sort of complaint in some way against somebody. Someone has somewhat sinned against us in some way, shape, or form. They've wronged you. They've hurt you. They did something you didn't like. Maybe they removed a picture frame off the wall that you thought needed to be there. So many things can happen. It gets you all stirred up. Now, the word forgive here, there's actually two ways that forgive is understood, but this particular word, forgive, it means to freely give, graciously give, or generously give. So we're going here. When someone sins against you, they are in debt to you. See where we're going? Right? And the moment that someone's in debt to you, what do you think you have to do? I got to pay them back. Right? I got to get back to them. They should pay for what they did wrong. But God's word calls us to freely and to generously and to graciously forgive. Above and beyond, forgive them for what they've sinned against you. To cancel the debt and then some. The payment they deserved has been canceled. Now, why should we forgive? Primarily because it reflects Christ, right? I'll spend some more. I'll come back to that in a moment. But look with me in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 to 32. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, clamor, slander be put away from among you, along with all malice, hatred. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. When we hold a grudge, when we don't forgive, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get bitter. You're going to get bitter toward that person. You might get a little wrathful and angry toward said person. You might shout and slander that person. Oh, they did that against me. You won't believe what so-and-so did to me last week. You ever heard someone do that, right? We slander, we shout, and we blame. We have hate toward them. We often see this in families, don't we? Man, it always seems there's one family member, whether it be a sibling, an aunt, an uncle, a parent, a grandparent, a cousin. Doesn't matter who it is, right? And this family member has sinned against several people in the family. And now this family has built up this large amount of bitterness and anger and hate all toward that one person. Y'all have that in y'all's family? I got that. I know of several other families that have that one person that's done something wrong, and no one in the family is ever going to forgive them. And see all the division and the chaos that is caused? Church, that is not to happen at all within the church. That's not to be a thing here in the church. It shouldn't be happening in your families either, but it definitely, absolutely must not be something that happens here. The Bible teaches that we must forgive each other. Now, I want to take us back a moment to this idea of bearing with one another for a moment. In our bearing with one another, when our sin struggle or our life struggle, it is certainly possible that they aren't going to listen, that they aren't going to want to, that they ain't going to want to follow and obey, that they're going to sin against you. And if that happens and you continue to not forgive them, all you are creating for yourself is bitterness, anger, and malice towards said person. And you know what you're not going to do? You're not going to bear with them. Now you begin to see how bearing with one another and forgiving one another is tied together. When I was initially planning this sermon, I had it set to say, confess one another and forgive one another. Because that goes together, doesn't it? But the Apostle Paul seems to have something better. Bearing one another, forgiving one another. Church, we ourselves didn't deserve to be forgiven. We ourselves don't deserve to be forgiven even now. God is a holy God, and when we sinned against Him, His wrath, His judgment, His condemnation is everything we deserved. But God, through His Son Jesus, has forgiven those who believe in Him of all sins, of all the mistakes, past, present, future. And if God, the holy God, the righteous God, if He can forgive sins, so too can we. Because we're not even holy like He is. Just think about that. God is holy. Yeah, we were made holy and made righteous in Christ, but are we holy? No, we're not. We still sin too. If God can forgive sins, why can't we? I want to challenge you this week. If there's someone in this church who has sinned against you in some way, I just encourage you to have a conversation with them. Be blatantly honest with them. Go up to them and say, "Hey, brother, hey, sister, I have sinned. You've sinned against me. Just be honest with you. You did this. I didn't like it. I didn't appreciate it. This is my complaint against you. And I just want to come forward and I want to make things right. And I want you to know that I'm forgiving you. Okay? I'm going to take this opportunity. I'm going to forgive you. It's one thing right now to think about that person sitting in the pew and saying, I'm going to forgive them, right? It's a whole other thing. When you go to that person and you say, brother, you've sinned against me. You did this and it really bothered me. It really upset me. And I've been holding this grudge against you for so long. But I'm ready to lay that down. I'm ready to get move that. I'm ready to move on from this. Will you forgive me as I forgive you? You know what's crazy sometimes? Sometimes people don't know they've sinned against you. Sometimes people don't know that they have this blind spot of sin in their lives. And they just keep doing it over and over and over and over again. And you know why they have that blind spot? Because all the people they've ever sinned against has never came back and said, brother, you've sinned against me in this way. Well, I forgive you for that. Well, we have to take a sense of responsibility and get over this idea of fear and what they're going to say and scaredness and timidness of how they're going to react. And we have to just speak truth to them. Those conversations with them. And if you are the person that has sinned against someone, okay, this goes both ways, right? If you're the person that's come to this week and someone said, hey, you sinned against me, the first thing you should do, or let me say it like this. There's two ways you can respond. You can either respond by defending yourself. You can either respond by defending yourself and getting all hasty, excited, and angry, and frustrated. I didn't do no wrong. I didn't do that. What are you talking about? Or you can just simply respond by saying, I'm sorry. Sorry I sinned against you. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for coming and talking to me. Because you have asked me, because you've forgiven me and told me about this, I'm going to take a moment, reflect on my life, and my actions, and seek to rid myself of sin. It's hard, isn't it? And when we do this, church, we will be a church that reflects Christ to a lost and dying world, and we will be a community like no other. How many other communities do you know of that bear the burdens of one another, that forgive one another? I don't know of any of those, do you? The only place that is the church, or the only place it must be at is the church. We will be a community that people will crave, a community that people will want to be a part of, a community that displays Jesus to the world. So, in our sermon today, we have seen these two ways that we should live one another, bear one another, forgive one another, and I just want to close by taking us to Jesus. And I started off by talking about this because on that cross, on the cross, when Jesus died, He bore our sins. Our burdens, our sin struggles, all the sins we ever committed, Jesus bore them on the cross. All the sins we've ever forgiven, all the sins we've ever made, right? Well, this past Wednesday in our Bible study class, one of the illustrations that the little study had us go through, and the ones of you that were there, I asked you to hold a book, right? And you picked up a book, and you held it in your left hand, and I said, this is your story. This is your life, right? This book is filled with nothing but sin, okay? Right? And you had Jesus over here. Jesus is God over here, let me say God, right? You got God, which is righteous and holy and good. And so He has a book too, right? But what's His book? His book is not filled with sin. His book is filled with nothing but goodness and righteousness and holiness, while our book is filled with nothing but sin. But you know what Jesus did when he died on the cross and we believed in him? This book of sin was wiped away. Why? Because on that cross, we were forgiven. Praise the Lord for that. As a church, we should look to Christ for the greatest example of how we should bear with one another and how we should forgive one another. So may we live that out. And this morning, if you've never believed in Jesus Christ, you've never had your sins forgiven, I want you to know that today can be changed for you. That today is the day that you can believe and trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life and have your sins forgiven completely, entirely, forever, and you will spend eternal life in heaven with Jesus Christ. The Bible says all you have to do is simply believe and confess your sins. Repent of those sins. So if that's you today and you would like to talk about what it means to follow Jesus and to trust Him as Savior and Lord, I would love nothing more than to have a conversation with you after the service and talk about what it means to trust in Jesus, to believe in Jesus, and repent of your sins. Church, let's be a church that lives in one another fellowship by bearing one another, forgiving one another. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much for Jesus and the example of bearing burdens and the example of forgiving sins, Lord. God, I just pray that we as a church, as people of this church, we will reflect those examples. We will reflect Jesus to each other by bearing the burdens of each other and forgiving each other. God, I pray that we will be humble, that we will lay down our pride, lay down our arrogance, lay down our shame, lay down our guilt, Lord, and the embarrassment that we may feel, and we will be open and honest with those around us and in our community here, Lord, at this church, Lord, and have conversations with them, talk to them about the struggles we have in life. So our brothers and sisters in Christ can bear those burdens with us. And God, I pray if there's anyone here who's sinned against someone, Lord, that that person will go to them and forgive them. If there's anyone here holding a grudge or something against someone, that they will go to them and forgive that person. Knowing that all of this is helping each other to live righteous and holy as you have called us to do. God, we thank you for Jesus. We pray all this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.